much for being here. Man, we had such an incredible Under Harwell after service, and it was just a magnificent time. But we also, as I see, the anointing is still here in the place, and we have really been blessed with some phenomenal worship this morning, and just some prophetic leading from my wife, Pastor Shauna, and just some prayer, and just something's continuing to grow and to go in God's presence. So we're thankful for His presence here today. And so I'm gonna move you right along into this message for this morning. If you need an outline, you can raise your hand. Our ushers will be happy to help you. You can also follow along on our COC South Bend app. We've been in our Covenant Elevation series for a long time. It's been quite a few months that we've been in this. And when we last spoke on it, and we're still in it, and we still have quite a ways to go, to be honest with you. We've been focused at this point on the life of Abraham. And Abraham, God addressed Abraham with his covenant promises in the book of Genesis. And what he promised Abraham as part of the covenant, if you remember, was descendants and land. Everybody say that, descendants and land. God gives us descendants. For us, what that means for us today is that, of course, and I've explained this several times, but in case you haven't been here, when it comes to descendants, it's not necessarily just our children, our physical, biological children. It's the people that God has given us, I'll say, leadership over or a responsibility to pour something into. They are people who God's called to our side and to our voice, and people who God's called our voice to their ear, and we're supposed to be pouring something into their lives. Those are descendants, okay? And we are children of Abraham, but obviously we're not direct descendants of Abraham, but his faith in God and our faith in Jesus Christ is what makes us descendants of Abraham, children of Abraham. Of course, there's land. Land isn't necessarily the geographical earth that you're standing on right now. Land is the masteries of things, the anointing of things, things that you have command over, gifts, talents, and abilities. There's a command over those things that God has given you that actually helps you to pour into those descendants, okay? And so today, we're going to talk a little bit more about God's promise, but we're going to talk about God's promise revealed this morning. How many of you know God wants to reveal His promise to us today? Amen. And I don't just mean reveal His promise as to what His promise is. I mean reveal His promise as to some manifestation of what He's promised us. Amen. We're looking at the life of Abraham this morning. I'm going to take you to Genesis 17. We read through Genesis 15 a couple of weeks ago. Then we stepped into chapter 16. And now we're going into chapter 17. And in 15, we saw Abraham receive the promise of God. In chapter 16, we saw Abraham and Sarah, along with Hagar, try to bring that promise into existence on their own, which didn't work out all that great. But today we're going to talk about chapter 17 and how the promise is being revealed now to Abraham and what that means for us in terms of God's promise being revealed to us. So let's go ahead and read in chapter 17 of Genesis. We're going to start at verse 1. Reading from the Amplified Version here. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said, and before I get to what God said to Abraham in that moment, ooh, boy, that was a real life. I'm going to go ahead and switch this. We tried it a whole bunch of times and it doesn't seem to be working. Can you guys hear me okay? A little bit better? All right, I'll keep the earpiece on just so it'll look real cool or whatever. it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, Abraham's 99 years old at this moment. How old was Abraham when he got the promise? Anybody know? 75. 99 now. He was 75 years old when he got that promise. If I'm doing my math correctly, that sounds like 24 years. 24 years
Have you ever received a promise at age 75? Anyone in here? Have you received a? Okay, not a whole lot. And then had to wait till 99 to receive that. So Abraham is 75 years old, and God says, I'm going to give you descendants and children. Descendants or descendants and land. Children beyond your numerical counting ability. You won't even be able, you can look at the stars and you won't be able to, it'll be just like that. You won't even be able to number them. And as Abraham lives his life, he's going on through his life, God is steady with his promise to say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Now, as we step into chapter 16, while God is on this straight and narrow path walking with Abraham, saying, I'm going to bring you this promise, Abraham gets to chapter 16, and they're kind of off to the side here trying to bring that promise that's now, let's see, 84, 86, 70, that's 11 years now. This promise hasn't come to pass yet, and I'm losing my baby-making ability. In reality, I probably have already lost it. And so, we better come up with something to make God's plan come to pass. And they come up with this idea to say, let's, you were there when it happened, I guess, in chapter 16. You heard that and heard us read through that. And so he sleeps with Hagar, and they have Ishmael. And that's not the promise that God said to Abraham. And God is still, Abraham, I'm going to bring you descendants and land. And all of a sudden we step into Genesis 17. And Abraham is 99 years old. And for all that's happened in this space of 75, 76, 80, 86, Ishmael, Hagar, all of that turmoil, God is still steady with his promise, with his covenant promise to say, 99, Abraham, it's time. Remember what we talked about with grace? Grace does not look at any of your history when it comes to bringing to pass what God has called and ordained to happen in your life. This is a moment of grace right here, because for all that they have doubted in some ways or tried to manufacture in some other ways, it none of it has taken God off of his covenant promise. And so I'm saying that to you today to say God has some covenant promise for you. And I believe, this is me, you can believe this with me, and I'm hoping that you do, we can get in agreement with this, but I believe that part of the reason why God is brought us to this moment in this series is because he's ready to do this for us. That no matter where your life has been scrambled, has gone zigzag, God is still faithful to his covenant promise and saying, now, 2008, first Sunday of first Sunday of September, it's time. It's time for you to see something. It's time for me to reveal something to you. Turn to somebody and say, it's time. It is time. So Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence, and be blameless and complete in obedience to me. He says habitually. I just want to just highlight that word real quick, because that's obviously in the Amplified version, but it's important. Have you ever been in a way where it's like, oh boy, it feels like my relationship with God is turning into a bunch of routine? you know, it's like, oh, I read the word, and then da-da-da, you know, I do a little worship here, go to church on Sunday, you know, hit repeat and do it all over again. Can I just tell you, that's okay. It's not okay to necessarily, when it's time to go to another level, you'll start feeling those discomforts. To say, oh, man, this just feels a little too routine. This just feels a little, we've been doing this. God, I need to feel something. And in those moments, some change is getting ready to happen. Something's getting ready to break through. But don't let go of your habitually. Okay? Don't read the word every day, 6 a.m., whatever. Start praying, you know, binding devils and casting them out. And if we need them devils bound. You keep that habit. You keep that habit. So he says, habitually, be before me. Now he goes into verse 2 and says this, I will establish my covenant, my everlasting promise between you and me, and I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants. Now understand this. I just want to make this distinction that God is telling Abraham to walk blamelessly before him. And then he says, I'm getting ready to establish my covenant with you. I want you to understand that God's not setting up a condition here to say, Abraham, I need you to be upright and righteous if I'm going to make this covenant come to pass. That's not what he's saying right there. What God is saying here is, Abraham, I'm getting ready to bring my covenant to pass for you. It's really got nothing to do with how you live or how you have lived or how you're getting ready to live. It's because I have promised it. So it's getting ready to happen. Therefore, I really kind of need you to look the part. Because it won't make a whole lot of sense me doing all of this for you and you acting like a crazy heathen. So let's make sure you get that right. Because it's some stuff getting ready to happen right now. I'm getting ready to make sure that the covenant promise that I've given you is getting ready to come to pass now. It's getting ready to happen. So I need you to look the part here. I don't need you making me look bad here. You know, have you ever seen people going to some real extravagant event like an opera or something? You know, if I ask my wife, hey, honey, let's go to the opera, which I would never do probably, or some nice, really nice place, like for our anniversary, come on, Lord, do that thing. If we walked into that place and she had on a sweatshirt and come on, babe, let's just walk. Yeah, let's just walk. If we come into the place and she looks as beautiful as she's looking right now, it would look right. But if she like put on a sweat top and some sweatpants or some jeans and some gym shoes that she, you know, does her gardening in and all that, it wouldn't quite look right. Now, the tickets are still paid for. We're still going in. But it's like, hey. You can have a seat. Come on, give me a fat shot. It's like, look, you wanna look the part. If you're going into a certain place, we got enough sense to dress a certain way to look the part. So then, if we have a covenant making God who's saying, listen, my people, I'm getting ready to bring some covenant promises to pass for you, wouldn't it make sense to put on righteousness? Wouldn't it make sense to put on humility? Yeah. To walk upright before the Lord. So if she's dressed in a way that's unfitting for this opera night, it may cause a little bit of clash between. It's like we're trying to. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? It may cause a little bit of disruption between us two. Not to mention the other people that's in the audience. Are looking at us like, man, she ain't dressing right. What's going on with them? See, that same thing can happen with us here today if we're walking with a in a covenant with God, and we're not walking upright before the Lord, and people around us are looking like, you're a Christian? What's going on with that? Why you got that on? So God isn't saying, Abraham, I'm going to bring my covenant to pass only if you get it right. No, it's not that. I'm bringing my covenant to pass now. Now's the time. So you get in line with it. And so I believe God is telling us, hey, listen, some things are getting ready to come to pass. I want you to be a reflection of those things that are coming to pass while you're also being a reflection of me. Be a reflection of who you're with, who you're walking into these covenant promises with. Verse 3, then Abraham fell on his face in worship, and God spoke to him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And as a result, you shall no longer be the father of many nations. Okay, I didn't read that right. Let me try it again. Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And as a result, you shall be. Thank you. You shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, which is exalted father. This is what I like about the Amplified Version, is because it kind of is the Greek and the Hebrew, but written out in English. So if you look up the name Abram in any kind of like names and their meaning, it means exactly that. It means exalted father. He says also, but your name will no longer be Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. So you're not just going to be a fatherly person with a fatherly personality, with fatherly giftings. I'm getting ready to actually make you a father of many nations. I'm getting ready to, if I can just borrow a word from this series, elevate. I'm getting ready to elevate you into a new place, into some new responsibility, for I will make you the father of many nations. Now, let me talk about some of these points. Let me give you point number one. All of these points stem from this verse or this phrasing here, that when God's promises are being revealed, here's one of the first things that happen. God changes us. Some changes are getting ready to be made in us. And many times when changes are getting ready to be made in us, we enter into a lot of different circumstances that sometimes are not very pleasing and pleasant. When God is changing us, it often feels like, at least, we're being contorted into something by life circumstances. So different circumstances will come our way that shake us out of our normal place. I was telling somebody, you know, sometimes when God's working in your life, all he needs is a shovel. You know, if you're planting a flower, you don't need to dig too deep. You just get a shovel, scoop out some dirt, put a seed in, cover it up, water it, and let God do the rest. But if you're trying to create a tunnel through a mountain, you're going to need more than a shovel. You might need some explosives. So depending on whether God's trying to get a seed into your life or build a tunnel, It all pans out to what he's getting ready to use to make the necessary changes to get his promises to your life. You might see some things blowing up, some things exploding, rubble flying everywhere. And it all depends on where your life is. How deep-seated is what God trying to get out of you? How deeply rooted is that in your life? May constitute how many different circumstances you have to go through before change actually comes. That's for God to determine. Okay, I want to make sure that's clear. That's for God to determine. Abraham did not see this coming, go down to the county and say, you know what, I feel like changing my name. I'm getting ready to be a father of many nations up in here. I think I need a name change. No. God said, you will no longer be Abram, because now is the time that I'm getting ready to bring my covenant promise that I promised you long ago that you tried to make happen on your own, but now it's time. I'm getting ready to bring this to pass, and so now some things are getting ready to change. First, in you. You can forget about looking at your neighbor right now. You get you a mirror. Pull out your iPhone and just hit that reverse button. Just look at you. It's getting ready to change. Put some of them little crazy, with the iPhone, put the bunny ears on. Some things getting ready to change in me. We can say that. Some things are getting ready to change in me. Yes, Lord. Amen. So receive God's transformation. We've been talking about halftime. Halftime is a really weird time, I recognize. I haven't been through too many spiritual halftimes, but this is one of the first ones where I saw a lot of detail happening. And some craziness was, it's like, God, I don't even recognize who I am anymore. Life is getting so out of sorts for me that I feel so uprooted. I feel like I'm floating in outer space right now. And that's what happens oftentimes when God's bringing real transformation into our lives. We no longer recognize our lives as they once were. And we fight to hold on to something just so we can get a good balance on where things are. But it's like, nope, you know what? Just let that go. Just let it go. God's getting ready to plant you in a higher place. And he says here in verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. It's going to be a fruitful place, and it's not just going to be things replicating on the norm. It's going to be some things coming out of you that are exceedingly great things. Amen. Just put a pin in that and let God use that. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations, and an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Can I just tell you, the promise of God is able to extend to your children, to your children's children. The promise, the covenant promise of God. So stop worrying. I'm not going to make you stop. Well, what am I? Help me what I'm saying right here, Lord. I just sense God saying, listen, I got your children too. Okay, can I just tell you, says the Lord, your parents worried about you too. And you turned out okay. That's at least what we say. Can I just tell you that same promise is extended to your children? They're going to be all right. God's got them. You've planted in them what they need planted in them. God knows how to shake them up just like he knows how to shake you up. So do what you can to not worry about them. I'm not saying don't care. No, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't plead the blood of Jesus, send ministering angels and so forth over the lives of your children. What I am saying, though, is that God's got them. God's got them. Amen. And I don't care how wayward they may seem to you. Here's what I felt God saying to me. It's like, listen, if you got children that you know are kind of straying from the path, don't reach for them first, at least. Don't reach for them first. You know that I'm going to be your airline stewardess for a minute here. You remember that, that little part where they say, hey, if you see the oxygen mask coming down, make sure that you put it over your mouth first and then over your child's mouth. So when it comes to your children, if you know, hey, I can tell my child's going in a crazy way, here's what you do. Get the gas mask over your mouth first, the oxygen mask over your mouth first. In other words, make sure you're aligning your life with where the covenant promises are. Why? Because God just made a promise here that extends to the life of my children. So let me just make sure, just like God told Abraham, live a life that's blameless. You know what? There's some things in my life. I see my child going off, but they probably picked that up from me somewhere. So before I try to correct them off of something they probably picked up from me, let me go ahead and deal with the beam in my eye before I mess with the speck in their eye. Yeah, that's my child, and I got authority and all of that. I'm about to say crazy stuff. And all of those things, I have a responsibility in terms of authority in my child's life. At the same time, I recognize that when God's word says that I've got to deal with my own beam, that applies to my relationship with me and my child too. I've got to make sure that I'm aligned. Let me at least get that first. Because if you read that in Matthew 7, it says, listen, if I can get that right first, then I will see clearly to deal with the speck in my child's eye. To say, because if I don't, I'm probably going to be frustrated that they are exemplifying parts of my life that I don't want everybody to see. So let me get that part of me right. And maybe they'll follow along and recognize, hey, if Dad's getting his life right, maybe there's something to that. Because when I watched Dad, he wasn't doing all that great. And I may have picked up some of that. But now that I see Dad getting his life right, maybe I need to come to my senses as well. So if we get to that place where we got children that are going off the godly path, let's make sure that we're on it. Let's do that first. Okay, verse 8, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, moving from place to place, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession of property, and I will be their God. And so God knows how to care for. God doesn't just give us descendants, he gives us land. In other words, he doesn't just give us people to minister to, he gives us the resources that we need so that people can have what they need as we're ministering to them. Verse 9, further, God said to Abraham, as for you, your part of my agreement, you shall keep and faithfully obey the terms of my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. So this isn't the covenant promise isn't manifesting now because we've been righteous or because we get right. But it's still a demand on our part that we live right before God. So as we are by grace saved, not by works, we receive God's grace and his salvation due to our confession of Jesus Christ by faith as him as Lord and Savior over our lives. At the same time, while our works don't save us, we still, as we mentioned earlier, we still look the part. We still obey. We still walk in a right place with God. So that's what God is saying here. You still walk in an upright way before me. Now, this is the hard point of this message, at least as I see it. He says in verse 10, this is the sign of my covenant, which you shall keep and faithfully obey between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. I have 11, 12, 13, and 14 literally crossed out because I don't like talking about circumcision a whole lot. I just don't. But it's part of God's covenant here with Abraham. Thank God this is the law. And we are under grace. Now we understand what circumcision is, the cutting of the foreskin from the male genitalia. And I'm just going to go straight to point two here. Point two in all of this is that when we are getting ready to see the promise of God being revealed, God will often challenge us to give something. God will often challenge us to give something. Now, we can look at this whole circumcision thing in two different ways. Number one, probably the most important way of looking at it is that there's something of flesh getting ready to be removed. Here's what's interesting about this is that when Abraham was 86, he had intimate relations with Hagar, and they had Ishmael, and he was at the time uncircumcised. So now he's getting ready to have another intimate relationship with his wife, Sarah, to have the child of promise. But before he does that, he's getting ready to be circumcised. So then, if the promise of God is going to come forth in our life, there's something of flesh that has to be removed, which is a part of God changing us. There's a fleshly part of us that's getting ready to be cut away. And a lot of times when God sends those life-changing, life-altering situations and circumstances in our lives, it either does one or two things. It drives us closer to God, or it drives us further away. And we have to be careful to make that right decision, because we talked messages ago about the alternative, right? You remember there's God's will and then there's the alternative. We don't want the alternative. We talk long enough about the alternative. That's not what we want. What we want, God, is the blessing that comes from your covenant promise. So then we say, yes, Lord, cut away the foreskin of our hearts. Cut away the places that need circumcising. Cut away the places that are dead and old and need to be buried. Cut away the fleshly desires that I have in my heart. Cut away all of the fleshliness that I'm still holding on to, so that real covenant promise can come to pass. So there's a cutting away of flesh, but there's also a giving of something. And if I can just say this, there's something that you're giving. It may hurt to give it. Okay. Amen. There's something that God may call forth for you to give, and it may be something that you may not necessarily want to hold on to. And it's not necessarily limited. It could be finances, but it could be something altogether different that has nothing to do with the desires of the flesh, but just something that I want to hold on to that I see, God, you're calling me to give away. You're calling me to give away. So Jesus, as we saw that clip that my wife showed when she prayed, Pastor Shauna had preached that message about humility. In that scene, we saw Jesus bloodied, beaten, crown of thorns piercing his head, cross had fallen on him, and he looks at his mother and says, "See, mother, I have made all things, I make all things new." And I don't know if you got the real revelation in that, but it's when it's time to make all things new, that's what it looks like. It doesn't look like a pretty new car all the time. It doesn't look like a brand new house. It doesn't look like a brand new job or more money. It looks sometimes like a bloody mess. All things becoming new makes us, we may not go through the exact same torture and torment that Jesus went through, but when all things are becoming new in our hearts and in our spirits, that's what we feel like. Bloody mess. Cross on top of us. People spitting on us. People cursing us, whipping us. That's what it ends up feeling like, but all things are being made new. And in Jesus' case, he not only had to give up his flesh, not that he was walking in the flesh, but his flesh had to be pierced and his life had to be laid down. So in that one moment of crucifixion, Jesus was doing both of these. He was giving up his flesh, which was the veil, and that's a whole other message. He was giving up his flesh and he was also laying down his life. And as you looked at him in the garden, you saw is him pleading with the Father. I don't want to do this. He says, not a price I want to pay, but nevertheless, your will, not my will, be done. So there's a nevertheless place that we have to come to. God, I don't want to give this. I don't want to submit to this. I don't want to teach this class. I don't want to teach this course. I don't want to start this ministry. I don't want to start this business. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to give this price. But nevertheless, if I'm going to receive the covenant promise that you have for me, your will be done. Verse 15. And then God said to Abraham now, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her by her name, Sarai, my princess. Small M right there. So that word Sarai is basically what we see in that is Abraham saying, this is my princess. But God says, no longer will you call her by that name, but her name will be Sarah, princess with now a capital P. So this is no longer Abraham, your princess. This is Abraham, she's now my God's princess. This is now a capital P. She's now my princess. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give her a son. I will give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her. And she shall be the mother of nations. Kings and people shall come from her. Number three, when God is releasing or revealing his covenant promise to us, he often connects us with other people. Especially people who are like-minded people, ready to see the same promise we're ready to see. Relationships are getting ready to start connecting to you. Why? Because you can't bring the promise into fruition by yourself. And God never intended for that to be the case. When Jesus was getting ready to start his ministry, he needed a John the Baptist to baptize him. When Jesus was ready to start his ministry, he didn't go out necessarily healing and doing all of his ministry. He said, Peter, John, Andrew, and all the rest of y'all, who I can't remember their names. Jesus knew the names. I can't remember the names. Matthew's in there somewhere. A couple of Judases and another Simon, a Thaddeus, and others. If I'm going to do this, I need you guys by my side to make this come to pass so that when I die and it's time for the Spirit of God to come forth in the earth, I need to make sure you guys are in place because I'm not doing this on my own. And I want to be an example of that to you so that you understand that you don't do it on your own. I'm going to connect you with people, the right people, to bring to pass the covenant promise that I have for you. And remember what we just saw in the video, the covenant promise coming to pass for you will bless you. You're going to enjoy it, but it's really not about you. It's about God's promise being fulfilled in the earth through you. It's going to make you look good, though. You can believe that. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a testimony. You're going to have, I'm telling you, your life is going to be abundantly blessed, but you're really going to be a walking billboard for God. When he makes his covenant promise come to pass in your life. So this is not something that you can do on your own. Let's keep reading verse 17. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit here. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael, my firstborn, might live before you. And so Abraham is saying, Abraham, you got to understand, Ishmael is 13 years old. At this moment, had Ishmael when he was 86, now he's 99, he has loved this child. This is his firstborn child, and he has loved this child. Even though it's a working of his own flesh, excuse me, and it's not the fulfillment of promise that God had in mind for him. Nevertheless, just like we saw again in the video, God says, listen, I'm going to bless him too, but that's not where the promise is. That's not where the promise is. And so God gives this elaborate answer to Abraham's request. And he says, no. That's not it. And for all that we may often try to say, hey, God, we did this. Would you please bless this? And God says, listen, I'll take care of that. But that's not where my promise is. My promise is, and you'll know it when you see it. My promise is where I've called you to be. My promise is what I've called you to do. And God says, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall name him Isaac, laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard and I've listened to you. Behold, I will bless him. I'm going to make him fruitful and a great and greatly multiply him through his descendants. He was going to be the father of 12 princes, chieftains, sheiks, and I will make him a great nation. However, my covenant promise, my covenant, my promise, my solemn pledge, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. And so when God is revealing his promise, point number four, God accepts no substitutes. God accepts no substitutes. Do not laugh at what God has promised because it looks crazy to you, because it looks like something that could never come to pass and could never happen, especially at my stage in life, especially because I'm this gender, I'm that gender, especially because I'm this color, especially because I'm this, oh, I'm not young enough, oh, I'm too old, oh, I'm not old enough, oh, I came from this city, I was born in this neighborhood, yada, yada, yada. And on, for all of the reasons why we keep trying to make the promise of God come to pass for ourselves, on our own, and God simply says, listen, I'm going to bring it to pass. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to make it happen. And for all of your efforts that you have tried, I may even bless those things, but the covenant promise is still in my power to give to you. It's still going to happen to you the way that I have desired for it to happen. Don't you give up on it. And then finally here in verse 22, and God finished speaking with him, and then he went up from Abraham. I want to close with this, and we're already past our normal time here, but I want to close with this. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read verses 36 through 39. Here's what it says. It says, patient endurance is what you now need so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that God has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. That's important right there. He says, I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But, and let me just interject this right here. I think I was sharing this in our meeting earlier. If not, I think I was sharing it with my wife yesterday. But it's, if you can imagine going on a trip. You're a child, your parents are taking you to Disney World. It's like a 12-hour trip, and you're like 8 years old. So 12 hours, if you think about it in our times, like 12 hours to a child like that age, that's like a whole day. That's a 24-hour knockdown, drag out. I've had sleep, I've eaten, I've slept again, and I've eaten again. I've gone to the bathroom, I've gone to eat in restaurants, and now I'm asleep again. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're never going to make it. I'm ready to go home. I can't take this anymore. Just throw me out the car. And you're driving and you're excited because your parents have given you a promise. You're going to Disney World. You're in the cars like, yay, I'm so excited. Mickey, Minnie, Donald, all of them. And you're driving and an hour passes. We there yet? Is it coming? Okay, let me go back to sleep. Maybe I'll be there when I wake up. Wake up. Woo, it's been 2.5 hours. I know I'm there. No, not quite. Like, oh, God. And all you see, cornfields, restaurants you don't want to eat at, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And what you don't see is Disney World. And the drive just keeps going and going and going and going. And all of a sudden, you look up, and there it is. It's Magic Kingdom. There it is. There's the castle. I see it. I see it. It's there. I can see it now. And I believe that's the place where God has brought us to. We've been praying and fasting and praising and worshiping and giving. And all of a sudden, God's brought us to this place now. I can see it. It's the kingdom. I see it. I see the kingdom promise that was given to me when I got in this car, when I started this Christian life. I see it. I see what God's promised me. My eyes are opening to it now. After all these many years, I see it, and it's getting ready to pour out into me. There's still a little ways to go because we got to get off this expressway. We got to get in this line for parking, and then we got to walk all the way to this line behind all of these people and wait, but it's coming. It's coming. You're almost there. Let me read this verse one more time, verse 39, or verse 38, the second part of it. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. I'm telling you now, don't turn away. It's there. It's right in our sights. It's right there. It's you can see it if you can just look. You can see it. Do not turn away. You've been going way too long. It'll take you longer to go back than it will to just go ahead and press into the blessing. You're way beyond the point of no return. Don't turn back now. It's coming. It's coming. Patient endurance is what you need right now. So that you will continue to do the will of God. Continue. Turn to somebody and say, keep doing God's will. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Keep going. You're almost there. It's coming to pass. You can see it. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. It's just where we are. It's just where we are. This is. I'm not trying to give you some clever, schemed up message. This is just where we are. I'm just reporting to you what I see out the window. There it is. It's the kingdom, y'all. I see it. We've been riding in this car for hours, years, and I'm telling you, I see it. I see it. Don't nobody jump out the car. Don't turn back now. Amen. Maybe you have jiggle that door handle a little bit. Say, man, I've been riding this thing too long, and I don't see nothing but cornfields. I don't see anything but just wilderness. And I'm telling you, I sense God saying it's there. And I feel like, God, I can see it. And I feel like in my the way I see it in my brain, I just see this faint picture of that Disney castle. You know how when you're going to Chicago and you're not quite downtown, but you can see that skyline. You know you got a little ways to go, but you can see it. It's right there. Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer, and we're going to be there. And I see it. I just see that faint picture of the kingdom. Don't give up. There's some promise getting ready to be fulfilled. We'll talk about that next week. Amen. We'll talk about that next week. What do we want to do right now, Lord? We want to stand to our feet. I'm going to ask, because of the time, I'm just going to ask if our prayer team would come. And I'm going to release you here. But you might be in this place, having been ready to abandon ship, so to speak. And I just want to pray that we would have patient endurance. That we would not only have patient endurance, but that we would keep doing the will of God. That something in the fact that I see it all of a sudden reignites an excitement. That it relights our pilot, so to speak. That it reinvigorates us, rejuvenates our faith. Say, Lord, I was ready to give up, but I see it. I'm so glad I held on. I was frustrated here. I was confused there. I was sad here, mad there. But Lord, now I see it. I was angry. I was beginning to doubt if it was even right for me to get in this car. But now I see it. It's there. It's there. Maybe you have been in a place, and maybe you still got some things that you're wrestling with that make it difficult to really see it, that make it really difficult to hold on, that make it really difficult to believe that the promise is still coming to pass. And I just want us to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't even given your life to the Lord yet, and probably don't even understand all of what this even means. But you know you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know you need a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. That somewhere I know deep down in my heart, my life is incomplete without you, Lord. And we're going to offer you that time today to come and pray. Amen. So if that's you today in any one of those situations, any one of those circumstances, or if you just need prayer for something that's going on in your life that's totally unrelated to what I've been talking about, we're here to pray with you. Amen. So I'm going to pray with you. We're going to dismiss, but this altar is going to remain open so that you can come and receive prayer this morning. Father God, thank you for your people. Thank you for their patient endurance. Thank you for helping us to see it. Helping our eyes to see it. The eyes of our spirit. The eyes of our heart, Lord. As the song says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Help us to see you, Lord. You may be fainting in the distance in some of our hearts and minds, but Father, you're there. Give us a patient endurance that will keep going to where you're calling us to. Thank you for your covenant promise, Lord. Thank you for your covenant promises, Lord God. The things that have, the sacrifice you've made to save us. The promise of your Spirit to fill us, Lord. And even the promises, Lord God, to richly bless our lives. Even through the suffering, even through the circumstances, the heartache, you still promise to richly bless your people if we put our trust in you. So we thank you for that promise, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Help us to give our yes to it. Help us to simply say yes to the promise and not to turn back. Thank you for your people. Bless us richly. This morning, we invite you to come. Before you go, please hug a few people before you leave this place, and we will see you next time. God bless you.